and we're going to continue our discussion about what God is going to do in baptism. We talk a lot about baptism, but we don't always talk about it in terms of what God is going to accomplish. And that's really the focus, or at least where I think the focus should be. We talked about how in baptism, God accepts us as his people. He enrolls us in his covenant, and what a great thing that is. He grants salvation, forgiveness of sins, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. Today we're going to talk about how God washes away sins, how he puts the old man to death, and how he raises us to be a new creature in Christ. So I want to begin with something that the Apostle Paul writes, and we'll sort of set the stage until we get down to the point that I think Paul is really making here in Romans, the 7th chapter. So we're going to begin reading in Romans 7 at, about the end of verse 14 to sort of set the stage. He says, I've been sold to be a slave of sin. I don't understand what I do. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate to do. I do what I don't want to do. So I agree, the law is good. As it is, I'm no longer the one who does these things. It's sin living in me that does them. I know that there's nothing good in my sinful nature. I want to do what is good, but I can't. I don't do the good things I want to do. Yet I keep on doing the evil things that I don't want to do. I do what I don't want to do. But I'm not really the one who's doing it. It's the sin living in me. Here's the law I find working in me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Anybody ever felt that way? I want to do good, but evil is right there with me. Deep inside me, I find joy in God's law. But I see another law working in the parts of my body. It fights against the law of my mind. It makes me a prisoner of the law of sin. The law controls the parts of my body. And then here's the part that I really want to focus on. What a terrible failure I am. Paul says, who will save me from this sin that brings death to my body? I give thanks to God. He will do it through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in my mind, I'm a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to the law of sin. You know, God is going to grant me graciously death. Now let that sink in for a minute. And the way that makes sense to me has to do with something that's described in the Old Testament. Every one of us becomes a willing slave to sin, right? Nobody is made to sin against their will. Every one of us, at some point in our life, becomes a willing slave to sin. Now, this is the way that it's described in the Old Testament, Exodus, the 21st chapter. The writer talks about what the institution of slavery is really like. And he goes back to the Old Testament. For a Jew, you could sell yourself into slavery And you were obligated to serve the person that you had subjected yourself to. But it was only for a short time, just 7 years. At the end of 7 years, the person that you had become a slave to, he had to set you free. I can understand that. But then there is this description. This is in Exodus 21, beginning at verse 5. He says, suppose the servant says, when it's time for him to be let go, I love my master and my wife and my children. I don't want to go free. Then his master must take him to the judges. He must be taken to the door or doorpost of his master's house. His master must poke a hole through his earlobe into the doorpost. Then he will become his servant for life. And isn't that a really good picture of what we have done with sin? Nobody becomes a sinner against their will. We willingly become a slave to sin. I wasn't taken in battle. God versus Satan, and Satan won part of the world, and he could keep them as slaves. That's the way slavery worked in the Old Testament. It's the way slavery has always worked. But our slavery to sin is not that way. There's nothing that Satan could do, there's nothing that anyone could do to take someone out of God's hands and make them a slave. Now remember, when we're born, we're free of sin. We're God's creation. We're pure. We're, in fact, we're just like Adam and Eve were when they were first created in the Garden of Eden. We are not sinners when we're born. Adam and Eve weren't. But just like us, they had the ability to decide to sin. And they did. You know, they also had the ability to decide, I don't like where this is taking me. I want to go back. Think about Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel because Cain had made a lousy sacrifice. Abel had made an appropriate sacrifice to God, and it made Cain mad. And what did God tell him? Do what's right. And you'll be in the same position that Abel is. But what did Cain do? Cain got mad, killed his brother. You know, we're all like that with sin. We're born free of sin, and then we decide, you know, I'm going to try this out. So we tell that first little lie. And if we were smart, we would say, yes, I have to suffer the consequences of telling this lie, but I'm not going to do that anymore. It's like the Israelite that sells himself to a master and he serves for 7 years, but then he's free. We all had the ability to walk away from sin, but we didn't take it. Instead, we said to sin, you know, I kind of like this. There's some benefits to this. And so we willingly went with sin to sin's doorpost, and we said, poke me through the ear. I'll be your servant for life. Now, how long did it take after we were pierced through the ear, for us to all realize, you know, I really don't like this anymore. And now we're in the position that Paul was. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall free me from this body of sin? That's Romans 7. I don't like this. The fact is, you let sin poke you through the ear, and now you belong to sin. The only way that that slave could be released from that perpetual bondage for life was for that slave to die. And you know, when you think about it, that's what God does in baptism. He says, okay, you were a slave to sin. He poked you through the ear. Let's put that old man to death. You want to be free from that? You get to die. And that's what God does for us in baptism. He puts the old man to death. Now, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he goes on and he completes the story. We're put to death. And I suppose that's a sad thing. But the glorious thing about it, the gracious thing about it, is it makes it possible for us to become a new creature. And we are not Satan's slave. We're freed. The old man who was pierced through the ear, who can't free himself, who just decided he wants to be there, frankly, now gets to be freed. This is Ephesians 4. He says, beginning at verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, now get this, have given themselves over. They willingly went here. And then sin took advantage of them. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man is a slave. You're released from that. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You can't have that if you're stuck being a slave to sin. The only way to get that is to put that man to death, and that's what God does in baptism. Wherefore, he says, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sin go, the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Remember, he did this voluntarily. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Just like Satan poked you through the ear on the doorpost of his house, and you became his servant to sin, Now God gives you the Holy Spirit. It's not a poke through the ear like Satan did, or like you did with Satan. God gives you the Holy Spirit, and now you're sealed to God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You can't do this yourself. You have to have Jesus' death. You have to let God baptize you. You have to let God put you to death. But if you'll do that, what a great thing it is to be released. To finally be with, like the Apostle Paul said, the recognition, oh, wretched man that I am, I'm stuck here. But no more. I can walk free. If you're here this morning and you want to be put to death, we'll help you do that. But we want you to think about that. You can be baptized this morning. You can let God put you to death. Submit yourself to baptism. And then you can live this kind of life that God wants us to live. Now, we know that we're going to slip. But James said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another so that you may be healed. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're going to do what we can to help you, but we want you to think about that.